Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to welcome you to the work session for the City of Cedar Hills. Today is Tuesday, July the 7th, 2015, and I currently have 6:02 p.m. I'd like to call our work session to order. The notice agenda tonight is to talk about items that will come up on our normal agenda this evening for the City Council meeting. So I've just identified things that I think would probably be relevant and interesting to talk to. So, Mr. Bunker, if you wouldn't mind taking 5 minutes talking about the Kilgore Company's contract.
Actually, Jeff Mong, our Public Works Director, is here with us.
If you want Jeff to do it, yeah. That's fine.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yeah. So this street project that we have going, I'm not sure what information you want concerning that, but this involves the Sage Vista area streets, that neighborhood, Morgan, and there will be milling of the gutter line and then leveling out of the areas that the road has sagged or settled, and then a overlay, and that's what we put out to bid. And we received a number of bids from all noted paving companies, and Kilgore was the lowest bidder. Is there?
So I think this is always helpful to us when we hear things like this, not just because we're talking about a contract. I'm assuming that you've had Mr. Shaw look over the contract already. Is that correct?
I have not.
David, have you had him look at it?
We have not executed that contract, so we wanted to get the approval if we're going to give it to the low bidder, and then we'll send that over to them.
Okay.
So it actually is our boilerplate contract, so it's the city's contract, not Kilgore's.
Okay. So, but the reason I think this is helpful, even if we're not talking about a contract, is that it helps us on the council. So when you're working on roads, and we get maybe calls from residents saying, how long is this going to be happening, and you know, how extensive is it going to be, and it helps us to be able to respond to that. But do you guys have any plans on how you're going to reach out to any residents that are in the area and give them a heads up that maybe they could be inconvenienced in some way?
We do. We note it out on our webpage, and it's usually included in the newsletter. The contractor also does door notices 3 days in advance, and then they usually will do any updates if there's a change in weather conditions that they need to postpone it. So they try to get out as much information as they can for the specific area and the day. It's going to be a difficult project in some aspects in that there's limited access to that area. We experienced that a few weeks ago when we did coating on the upper part of Morgan. There's only one way in, one way out, and limited parking. And it did create some problems for the residents there. And they worked through it. We did get some positive responses that everything worked and was able to provide some assistance with a golf cart there to move people up and down the hill. Because it is such a steep hill and limited parking, it is a problem.
So I remember sometime in the last year there was a construction project, and at least one person was prevented from driving their car outside of their driveway. So do we know for sure if there's any residents because of this construction project they're going to be inconvenienced to the point where they're not going to be able to drive their car out of their driveway?
Yes, okay. There will be times. However, it will be a much shorter time period than if we was to put a coating on top, because they'll lay the asphalt and roll it, and you can drive on it. So it'll be a shorter time period.
So is it everyone on Morgan and Sage Vista that's going to be inconvenienced that way, or is there just a more select group of people?
It will be all of Sage Vista and everybody on Morgan down hill. I can't remember the address. It's 10540, I believe. But you can see where the new surface treatment has been completed, the asphalt will end at that surface treatment.
Okay.
So it is the steeper, lower portion of Morgan.
How long do you anticipate the work going on?
I think it'll be done in stages, so they'll come in and mill, and that's not, I mean, it'll inconvenience people for a short duration, but it doesn't block traffic per se coming in and out of driveways. And then the asphalt layment probably take a day to do each of them, so it'll probably be a couple of days.
Okay. Council, do you guys have any questions?
Yes, is this part of your regular maintenance? Was this planned, or is it because there's greater settling in that area of town that we need to do this more regularly than otherwise?
This comes up because of the study we do. I mean, they go out and analyze the roads every 3 years, and then we evaluate it. But it is to do mostly with the settling and the cracking to seal the road so we don't get additional water, and then hopefully we won't end up in a situation like we did on Sugarloaf.
Mike, do you have a question?
Are we still doing our own crack sealing?
We are, yes.
Do we anticipate, because I know on Sugarloaf and that other street, once they milled it, it was really soft, and I mean, do we have a contingency factor boiled in here in case?
Well, we're not anticipating doing full removal like we did. Sugarloaf was extensive. We had a lot of gutter, sidewalk, everything settling in that area.
So there's no gutter replacement here?
Very little, and it has been done. It's completed. Okay. So most of this is just going to be milling inch along the gutter line, so when they put the asphalt down, it transitions smoothly into the gutter.
So the worst case, in most instances, they'll have an inch, the mill, to drive over?
Yes.
Okay. It's good to know.
How long do you think that this overlay will extend the life of this road?
I anticipate 8 to 10 years minimum.
8 to 10 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else? Questions? No? Mr. Mock, thank you. Stay there. There's another item that we're going to have you talk about as well. This is the Bridgestone Plat C. Well, that's item number 9 on tonight's agenda. And so maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yes, Perry Homes has completed their work. I think they've sold all the units in that area as they've been working through the punch list to complete the infrastructure part of the project. And they have completed that, and we've done the inspection, and they're prepared now to move into durability. So, having got to that point, staff's recommending that council approve the infrastructure that is city-owned, which is very limited in that project. It involved redoing small portions of a sidewalk, connecting a short sewer and water line, and that's pretty much all of the city infrastructure that's involved. There is some infrastructure that will be assumed by the Homeowners Association, but not city.
This is Garbett, right?
No, this is Perry Homes.
Oh, this is Perry. Okay. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Did they work out all their drainage? Everything's good? You're satisfied with it?
They have come back and done a substantial improvement on it, and they've also agreed that the durability will include the settling for the next year once they go into durability.
Okay.
Mike, you have any more questions?
Nope.
What about to my left? Any, Mrs. Reese, Mr. Zappala, do you have any questions? Nope. Okay. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
We're going to move on to the operation of mobile food trucks in the city. This is item number 8 on our council agenda. So, Mr. Goodwin, I think you're going to be presenting during the council meeting. Might as well present now.
Thank you. As a follow-up from our discussion last council meeting, we met with Tom Karen, the gentleman who made a public comment, who owns the Hooley Boys truck, about doing a food truck rally in Cedar Hills. Just as a side note, your memo says that we'd like to have this take effect beginning July 16th, that's actually July 23rd. We got some new information. He'd like to push that back. But what we're proposing is a set of rules whereby the food trucks govern themselves. We set up a set of rules, and we're not the first city to do this. Multiple other cities have done this, as we've talked to other cities and other food trucks. They set up the rules, and then there is a food truck vendor that actually coordinates it. So the food truck vendor schedules five or six food trucks to come that night, and then they operate, and then it's up to the food trucks to make sure that when they leave that the park looks like a park again. There's no trash left behind. So we set up the rules, the time, the dates, and let them govern themselves a little bit, and if they don't follow the rules, then we say, well, you didn't do what we asked you to. So that's how other cities have done it, and he said that that's worked really well. We're excited to do it and work with them. On the staff's end, what we require from each of the food trucks is a business license. So they would have to apply for a business license, and we would probably prorate those business licenses for any food truck that participated in the family festival, so that could be applied to their year-long business license. They would also need to show proof of a Utah County health permit, just to make sure that we're covered on that end as well. And what we're proposing is to actually do this down at Heritage Park, where the trucks would be parked on the street on Cedar Hills Drive on the north end of the park, facing south, and open to the public there in the park. However, one hang-up is our current code does not allow for commercial vehicles to be parked on the street to be operated as a commercial entity. So what we're going to do is, not in this council meeting, but in the council meeting on the 21st, we're going to propose a modification to the code. The code that I'm referencing is in Title 5-2-5D and Title 5-2-5G. It says the oversized vehicle, it shall be unlawful for any person to leave, park, or station upon any street any vehicle that is defined as a commercial vehicle. These food trucks would obviously be defined as a commercial vehicle. However, there are exceptions to these rules where it's a temporary parking of vehicles for a reasonably short period of time, and that's to accommodate loading or unloading. There's also an exception for construction vehicles and emergency vehicles. We'd like to add a fourth category there where it's a special events exception, such as the Family Festival or other events sponsored by the city, may receive an exception to these provisions and be granted a temporary use permit, and that such an exemption would be approved by the City Council. So that would have to come before you before any decision were made. That wouldn't be a staff decision. So that's where we are now. So we would change that code to allow for an exemption on the 21st and begin doing food truck rally on the 23rd. And in the meantime, he would begin, if you're okay with these rules, this is noticed as a review review action item, where we accept the rules and he can begin scheduling those trucks beginning the 23rd. So.
Is he receiving any sort of compensation?
No.
He's just doing this?
No. Really, it comes down to he gets to be one of the trucks there. However, he said that he likes to see food truck rallies rotate out their options, so he wouldn't always be the food truck. He would be scheduling, but there would be weeks where his truck would not be there. So you get a variety of options because trucks want to come more than once a month. They want to come probably every other week, there'd probably be two cycles there. So they would alternate.
So, Chandler, I know that Pleasant Grove has worked on food truck interaction.
Yeah.
And so have you checked how they created their ordinance? I've been told it took them about 6 months to get it to a point where they were happy with it. And I'm just wondering if you guys have looked at it to see if we're missing something.
I haven't looked at their ordinance. I haven't looked at their ordinances specifically. I've looked at ours and seeing how ours relate to allowing a food truck. And that's why this concern came up with allowing a commercial vehicle on the street. We already allow for vendors upon city approval to operate within city parks. So that was passed, I think, about 2 years ago. But we're not actually putting them in the park, we're putting them on the street. And so right now, they would just need to have that exception granted to be allowed to operate on the street. In my discussions with Mr. Karen, we had discussions in the council about let them park on the grass, and his recommendation was do not let them do that. Their trucks will tear up your grass and ruin your sprinkling system because they're heavy trucks. They'll drive over pipes, crack the pipes, and you'll have leaks. So in an effort to minimize any damage to the park, we're recommending they park on the street or possibly even in the parking lot, depending on what your thoughts are, and go from that end.
It may be a good idea just to look at what
place. We can before the 21st and see if there's any other modifications that we need to make.
Yeah.
So I'll do that.
So maybe there's nothing there, but maybe there's something that we can learn there as well. So council members, go ahead.
Yeah, I have a question on one provision in here. It says no food trucks are authorized in Cedar Hills other than those related to this program during Thursday night operation of the program in the location outlined below. Other food trucks outside this program will be ticketed. And initial glance, that makes it sound like we're going to be discouraging other trucks from coming when I would love to encourage them. So I'm wondering what you're thinking on that.
No trucks are authorized in Cedar Hills other than those related to this program. What this is saying is that to be a food truck and operate within this, within our guidelines, you only get to operate on this night. You don't get to just pull up shop whenever you want. So you would need to go through the proper channels to obtain a business license to show proof of a Utah County health permit and get those documentation ready prior to operation. And then on top of that, I think that we don't really want them thinking that they can just pull up shop and set up their own schedule. So we would want it to be tightly regulated by the city.
Yeah, so something that says more along the lines of that only food trucks that go through this program will be authorized.
Okay.
I'd leave out the Thursday night part because maybe we decide that we want to change nights, or maybe we want to do two nights a week, or maybe somebody has a special truck that they want every Saturday night and everybody mm-hmm. loves it. And so I hate to tie our hands by putting in something as restrictive okay. as that.
Okay.
Mike, you have any questions?
No, I'd like to see some here.
Mr. Crawley?
No, it sounds like a good plan.
Okay. Mrs. Reese?
No, I'm excited. I've heard from a lot of residents who would love to have more choices when it comes to food restaurants in the yes. area, so I think this would be a good thing.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Chandler. The only other thing that I thought I'd bring up tonight is Mr. Bunker and I had a meeting this morning with some of the board officers of Temple Shadows, and they have an idea that they want to come and talk to us about probably in a couple of weeks. So we've been talking to them about on the intersection on Harvey Boulevard and 4600 West, and people that are driving north on 4600 West have said that it's sometimes difficult to see traffic that's coming down Harvey Boulevard traveling westbound due to there's three trees plus a fence, and the stop sign is back a little way, so they all have to stop at the stop sign, but then they have to pull forward a little bit in order to still see what type of traffic is coming their way. So we've been talking with them about that, and they have some ideas that they're going to come and talk about. But at the same time, they also have talked to us about creating what's called a chicane, which is a traffic slowing procedure. And it also has a median in the middle so that the residents of Temple Shadows, some of which are elderly, as they're crossing the street perhaps to get to church, then they go through, they can stop in the median if they need to, and then proceed on their way. So they really like that idea. And so we tossed out the idea to them of reducing the height on two sections of their fence, which would increase visibility, and moving the stop sign, if we can, forward a little bit. You can't move it too far forward, so maybe we can move it a foot or a foot and a half forward, and removing three trees and then creating an interior fence for the homeowner that lives there. And this would, we think, create greater visibility. So they're okay with that, but they have an idea that they like better, and that's what they want to come and talk to us about. And so in two weeks, they want to talk to us about creating a four-way stop on Harvey Boulevard and 4600 West. And I think that there's pros and cons to be talked about with this. That's one of our collector roads, so it's meant to handle more traffic than other roads are. And so they say that they recognize that if the road ever gets punched through from the Highland side and connects to Harvey Boulevard, then that will definitely increase traffic, and they realize that a four-way stop is probably not going to work at that point. And so they're being really good in terms of their conversations. They're just saying our first, if we had our first preference is a four-way stop. But if it doesn't work, then they're open to the idea of reducing height on two sections of fence, removing some trees, and making it easier that way. So I've asked David and staff to prepare their thoughts. And so staff may come back and say they don't like it. They may say that they do like a four-way stop. That's up to them. They'll figure out really what is the best option there. And then the people from the Homeowners Association in Temple Shadows will come and make their presentation to us. So, do you have any questions?
Yeah, will staff give us preliminary cost estimates for each of those different...
Say that again?
Will staff give us preliminary cost estimates for each of those options?
David, you want to address that?
Yes, we can include that as well in the report.
That'd be great.
So you know how much that would cost.
And then when it comes to removing trees,
yes,
are we also promising to give them new trees to replace those?
They haven't asked for that. They want an interior fence. That's, and they seem more interested in the interior fence, because when you lower the height on two sections of the fence, then it leaves the home that is closest to where those trees are without a buffer. Mm-hmm. And if you create a lower height fence, then maybe people would jump the fence and vandalize or whatever. And so I think they're just trying to protect their home a little bit. So that seems to be the issues. On my right side, Mr. Geddes, do you have any questions on this?
No.
Mr. Crawley?
No, I'm glad they're interested in working through it.
Okay. Very good. Then those are the only items. Do you guys have anything you want to discuss?
Maybe the... issue with the fire briefly
the fire that happened the other day. Is our chief here? The chief's not here yet. Okay. Is he? So Sam, do you know anything about that? Okay. So I know that there was a little bit of an email discussion. I didn't get to read all of the comments, but up by Timp Cove, mm-hmm. there was a fire, and I don't know the details other than someone speculating that a bottle rocket type firework, which is illegal above Canyon Road, was mm-hmm. probably the culprit.
I wonder if we should do the parlance system and just mention how strict we need to be between now and the 24th and tell everyone to talk to their kids, because, you know, who knows what teenagers or young kids have not heard about the rules up there. And I'm just wondering if we should do something to stress that there are no fireworks up there, no yeah. aerials.
Do you have any ideas?
The parlance, just a voice message to all the city residents saying, please talk to your kids about not doing fireworks in that area. I'm thinking maybe that might help, because I'm worried that it could happen again between now and the 24th.
Okay.
And I know the last 2 years, the fire department actually put up signs on the east side of Canyon Road saying no fireworks beyond this point. I'm not sure why they didn't do that again this year.
David, can you reach out to the fire staff and ask them if they're going to do that this year?
I will. Chief should be here tonight during the meeting to discuss that as well. Councilmember Reese mentioned that you were going to bring that up in your council reports. So if he's here, we can ask him some questions about that.
What do you guys think about the voicemail?
I'm fine using parlance. That's
fine.
Fine.
I don't have a problem.
Okay. I think it might help.
All right. Any other items? If not, we've got approximately a 25-minute break before our council meeting starts. So let's take a break and come back then.